Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. Relationships are the toughest things in life, but the most important. Most important, relationship with God, relationship with your parents, relationship with your spouse, husband or wife, relationship with your children, relationship in business, relationship with everybody outside. Relationships are really important. In fact, in business, if you can't get along with people, probably not going to be a very good business situation. That's how important relationships are. Now, I want to show you where we've come from. So let's go to the screen, because we've been talking about the destroyers of relationships, seven destroyers of relationships. The first one we spent time with already, and if you haven't viewed that video, you should. Disobedience to God's guidelines for relationship is the number one cause of destruction of relationships. Secondly, indifference. How do you cope with that? And disloyalty. Oh, when someone betrays you. So we spend time with that one already. How to recover from disloyalty. Then we talked about how anger destroys relationships. And then we just finished iniquity not too long ago. Three different sessions on how iniquity is so damaging to relationships. And then comes pride, which is the one. And let me give you the last one, which is lust. We haven't come to that one yet, because lust destroys relationships too. But the one we're dealing with today is pride. How does pride destroy relationships? So here's our topic for today. Recovering from the destructions of pride. Pride is the disposition of iniquity. So that's what we want to deal with. Now, just so you don't get lost in this, we're only going to be able to cover one of three parts. There are three parts to the recovery. The first part, which is what we're going to deal with today, is to understand how damaging and how destructive pride is. But it's not enough to understand how destructive it is. We also have to understand what the cure for pride is, and that's what we'll do next time together, along with this third step. How to recover from the destructions that are caused in our lives from the pride of others. Before we go forward, though, I want to show you a real wonderful scripture. Look at this. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. Look at this now. From the pride of man. God, thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. So what I want you really to know is that there is recovery from not just our own pride, but from the damage that's done to us from the pride of others. So let's begin with a definition of pride. From the dictionary, it's an excessively high opinion of one's own worth or importance. Okay, an excessively high opinion of one's own worth and or importance, watch this now, which gives rise to a feeling or attitude of superiority over everybody else. We think we're better than everybody else. In fact, the dictionary adds an inordinate self-esteem. So this is what we're up against, and few realize the damage it can cause. Before I get started to show you the outline from the scriptures on how pride damages us, I'm just going to show you a few pictures, and you decide for yourself. Which ones show pride and which ones don't. How about this one? And how about this one? And how about, I think we're starting to see what pride is. And it's not any gender difference. In fact, I got a big kick out of this one. I don't know if she was trying to baptize herself or what she's trying to do. Because if she was, I guess she could be proud of that. I don't know. I'll let you do the call on that one. But people are forever looking. Selfies are in. And not all of them have to do with selfishness or pride. Not all of them. For example, this is really not a picture of wrongful pride, certainly not. And this one's just dangerous, trying to get a selfie while you're driving the motorcycle. And let's hope the animals don't learn from the people, or we're really in trouble. But pride is manifest so many times in so many ways by so many of us, and there are physical outward indications of it. And this may or may not. I'll let you call on this one. I think she's just going to show off her vacation. But and I'm not sure what this one either. This one, I'll let you call it. You call it whether it's pride or not. This is definitely not proud. Not pride. At least maybe they are proud. I don't know. But this thing affects us, you know, and especially at academic levels where they think they know it all, and nobody, you know, and students are not even allowed to challenge, and so we go all kinds of yeah. It goes every which way. Pride is here altogether. What are we going to do about this problem, pride? Well, the first thing we want to do about it is to understand what it is and then how it has so much destructive capability. So here's back to our definition again. It's an excessively high opinion of one's own worth or importance, which gives rise to a feeling of or attitude of superiority over others. It's an inordinate self-esteem. Kind of interesting. This word inordinate is a Bible word. And in fact, the Bible talks about inordinate affections. What is that? Out of the ordinary. There is an ordinary level, but inordinate means extreme, overboard. And so proper self-esteem is a good thing, but inordinate means it's gone over the brink. So what is the destructiveness of pride? So here we go. And I want you to take a look at this. Number one, pride causes us to be unteachable. The proud person knows it all, at least he thinks he does. You can't teach him anything, because then he'd have to be the student and not the teacher, and that would insult his pride, right? Look at the scripture. The proud shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up. He can't be helped. You can't get him back up again because he's not teachable. Look at this scripture. Nobody says, where's God, my maker? Where's my God who gives songs in the night? Who teaches us, God, who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth and maketh us wiser than the fowls of the heavens. And I hope you know that verse. The animals are not here as decorations. They're here to instruct us. Another lesson for another time. But none says, where's my God who makes these things? And there they cry, but nobody answers. Why don't they get the answer? Watch it now. Because of the pride of evil men. Oh, surely God is not going to hear their vanity, and neither will he regard it. And so we find that pride causes people to be unteachable. They know it all. They want to be the teacher, not the student, the leader, not the follower, even when it comes to God. So when they pray, guess what? They're giving instructions to God. How foolish is that? When they should be going in prayer, should be going there to find out what your duty is next. The second thing that pride does is it prejudices us from all decision making. Now, tell you what I mean by this. Pride damages decision making because it interferes with the normal intelligence a person would have. Now, look at this scripture. The pride of thy heart deceives you. And watch this now. Pride is not only deceiving, but watch this. In its heart, the proud say, hey, who's going to bring me down, man? I'm on top of the world. though thou exalt thyself as an eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. And we're going to see by the time we finish these causes of, or these damages from pride, we'll see why that is a really smart thing. Let's look at another verse though. The terribleness, thy terribleness has deceived thee. And what's also deceived thee is the pride of your heart. You cannot make decisions because pride becomes the basis of how you decide, and thus prejudices, interferes with proper rationale. It's that destructive. Let me spend a moment there. This is why we've got such confusion even in the echelon of leadership here in these United States of America. Because at these high levels of government and law and legal and government of all levels, it's no longer an argument about what's right, but about who's right. See, pride has to be right even if it's wrong. It lacks, why? Because it's prejudiced. It prejudices decision making. So instead of competing parties being able to even come together, if the idea comes from your opposition, you're opposed to it, not because it's a bad decision, but because of who it comes from. So I want you to really grasp this, because decision-making in life is a really big deal, and we must not allow pride. Otherwise, it will infiltrate our thinking, mess with our values, and cause us to make decisions other than that which is moral or intelligent. Now, thirdly, destructiveness of pride is shown because it prevents us from seeking after God. Look at the scripture. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, look at this, will not seek after God. Why? Why is the wicked with his pride? Why does he refuse to seek after God? And the answer is because he would be yielding to somebody smarter than him, and nobody is smarter than him in his eyes. In fact, as scripture goes on, the wicked through pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. He's going to do his adjudication, his calculations about every aspect of life without God being part of the thinking process. So it prevents him seeking after God, but it goes farther than that, because it affects how we live. Watch this now. Pride damages the way we live. By the way, I refer to this. God is not in all his thoughts there, remember? So what happens when one will not seek after God and when God is not involved in the thinking process? It affects your life. How does it do so? Here it is. His ways are now always grievous. Look at this. His adjudication, his judgments, his decision-making, that is, the decision-makings of God, are far out of his sight. Yeah, he doesn't even look. So if he only knew how smart the ideas of God were, he could be a better person. But pride doesn't let him acknowledge the superiority of God in his thinking. And yet we know, remember the scripture, when God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts higher than your ways, saith the Lord. And they always produce abundance. But you see, the proud doesn't put God in his thoughts. And in fact, the ways of God are grievous You didn't like them. The judgments of God are far above. Why? Why can't he see? Because pride prejudices everything, including causing the rejection of God, which in turn damages the way we live. Now, watch one more thought from this scripture. Ready? As for all his enemies, and the proud have enemies. Ha! He gives them, he puffs at them. That was a polite way of giving the middle finger, I suppose. I don't know. But pride damages the way we live. Now, the proud don't know this next one, but I want you to know this. That even though they look successful, they are in bondage. Look at this. The proud are in chains, though they seem to prosper. Look at the scripture. Therefore, pride compasses them about as a chain, just like a chain. And violence, the opposite of justice, covers them as a garment. Their eyes, now watch, stand out with fatness. Look at this. Remember I said that they seem prosperous? They have more than heart could wish. I mean, they got everything they want. But they are still in chains. Some of them are chained to materialism. We won't go down that list because it's a long one. They are corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily like they are Mr. and Mrs. Know-it-all. They set their mouth against the heavens. Can you imagine that? It's not that they only refuse to acknowledge God and anyone who doesn't is foolish, right? I say it again. When you have a pen, there must be a pen maker. If there's a creation, there must be a creator. But they are not only deniers. In fact, beyond that, they have set up a resistance. They have set their mouth against the heaven. They are calling God down. They think they're smarter than God. And look at the scripture now again. Their tongue walks through the whole earth. In other words, they use the First Amendment and all of their corrupt speaking, even though they're in chains. All of their talk, all of their success stories, everything else. They're still in bondage. What a tragedy. That's what pride does. It binds you. Now, this might seem strange to you, but I think you'll recognize it as the truth. The proud are applauded by this culture we live in. So here's what the proud say. Ready? You, the proud, have said, it is vain to serve God. Look at this. There's no profit. What profit is it that we have kept his laws and his statutes? Or what profit is there that we have walked mournfully about our sins before the host of the Lord? They said, it's of no value. So what happened to the culture that rejects God, who doesn't see the profitability? For godliness profiteth in all things, right? But they are so messed up because of pride and don't see the damage of it. Watch the scripture. And now we call the proud happy. Whoa. We applaud the proud. We look at their achievements and we think man, they must really be something. And they think they really are something too, better than you, better than I. They live contradictory to so many principles. And we've come to some of them. Let me mention one. I think God is the humblest, which is the opposite to pride, person in the entire universe. The word condescension means to come from a high state to a low state, voluntarily. Huh? That's why my father's favorite songs was, Down from His Glory, Ever Living Story, My God and Savior Came, and Jesus was His name. Born in a manger, to His own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears and agony. Imagine God coming here as one of us. What humility. So, we're faced with this issue now. That culture-wide, we have failed to see the damaging consequences of pride. And we now are proud of it. Let's go back to the scripture. And now we call the proud happy. Watch it now. We think that those that are wicked, they're set up for life. They're set up. And even though they tempt God, they're delivered. Doesn't matter. God's not doing any bad thing to them yet. So we must understand that the condition of our culture is that they applaud pride. Now, this next point may help us understand why we should not. And it's this, that the proud, continually attempt to dominate everybody else. That's what they do. Oh God, the proud are risen up against me. Ah, and that's what they will do. They want, they're playing one-upmanship. Anything you can do, they can do better. I was standing on the doorsteps of the church one day and talking to a man. And there was actually two men. One was both friends or acquaintances at least. And each had the one guy had his dog tied to the front bumper of his pickup truck. And this other guy said to him, the dog owner, "You know, you got a nice dog, but my dog could beat up your dog." I couldn't believe I was hearing it. My dog can beat up your dog. That is the kind of, the pride are always outdoing and promoting themselves as the outdoers and you the loser. Let's go back, take a look at the scripture. The proud are risen up against me. They're going to put you down in order to lift themselves up. And the assembly of violent men have sought after my soul, my mind. I mean, a whole bunch of them are after me. And watch now, because here we feed back from the rejection. Proud rejects God. Their problem is they have not set thee, God, before them. They are ahead of God. That's why I call pride pride is the almost a personification of iniquity. It's against God. They want to usurp God. They want to be the king of the castle. And as we learn in kids, everybody else, the dirty rascal. They always want to dominate. Look at this. The proud have digged pits for me. Oh, the proud have hid a snare for me and cords. They have set a net by the wayside. Wherever I go, they're out to get me. They have set gins before me. G-I-N-S, not a very common word. Here's what it means. It's a noose for snaring animals. And why is this? Because you see, the proud continually attempt to dominate others. Let the proud be ashamed. Why? Because they have dealt perversely with me. And they don't have a cause to do that. And that's what they'll do with you as well. Always attempting to dominate you. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end with domination. The proud have to put down. everybody else. They may do it overtly, vulgarly, or subtly, or behind your back. But this is what the proud do. They treat others with scorn, mockery, ridicule. They want to bully you mentally and emotionally. So what's this? The proud have had me greatly in derision. Let the proud be ashamed, for they shall look, because they have dealt perversely with me. And look at that, without a cause. Let's look at another one. Our soul, that is our mind and emotion, is exceedingly filled with the scorning. Look at this. The scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. They treat you with scorn, mockery, and ridicule. They have no respect for you. You're a means to their end. You're a tool that they would like to use and abuse and misuse. You know, I will never forget the time. I can't give you the date, but it was a few years ago when I was thinking about some people that I didn't really care for that much. And I remember a voice. It was an audible. It was, you know, remember the scripture says you'll hear a still small voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And I hope you're listening to that voice. Doesn't yell, scream, or throw a fit. Still small, God's gentle. You know it's God's voice because he speaks in the character qualities reflective of his nature. And I'll never forget, I was thinking about these people I didn't really care much about. And this voice said to me, never make fun of someone for whom Christ died. That sentence changed my life, changed my attitude towards a whole lot of people. And that's why the scripture says that we should esteem others better than ourselves. We'll come to that later. Let's go back to the scriptures again and look at this new one. Proud, and look at this, haughty scorner. Proud and haughty scorner is his name. Look at this now. Who deals in proud wrath, reaction. Yeah. You can't have a decent conversation with him without him reacting, because he has to be right and you have to be wrong. They scorn, they mock, they ridicule. Now, another thing about pride is that it tends to induce lying, because pride has its own self-exalting agenda. In order to get there, in their mind, the end justifies the means. So look at this. The proud have forged a lie against me. That's what they do because it's convenient to help them get what they think is to the top of the pile. Now, they may not know this, but they should, and you need to know this for sure. The proud distance themselves from God. I love so many things I love about God, but let me show you this one. Though the Lord be high, I mean, he's really up there, right? Legitimately. No egocentricity with God, the most unselfish being in the whole universe. Let me talk about that a little bit more. I want you to really grasp this about God. What is he really like? He's the most unselfish being. He came here. Listen to Jesus. It wasn't robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself a form of man. And he became a servant. That's what God's like. He's a servant God. Not a proud, exalted, egocentric. Let's go back to this. Oh, you've got to understand what God is really like. And this verse actually helps us. Though the Lord be high, yet he has respect unto the lowly. Watch this. But the proud, he knows them, but they're afar off. We'll see why in a few moments. Because you see, the proud, and I want you to get it too, they lack the fear of the Lord. For the scripture says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then it starts listing evil. And at the top of the list of evil is the word pride. And arrogancy, which is what pride is like. And the evil way, which pride is willing to do. And the froward mouth. The fear of the Lord is to hate pride. But they don't have the fear of the Lord because they like pride. They have no problem with it. See, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Now watch this now, because pride and the lowly, the humble, are about to be compared and contrasted. When the pride cometh, then shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The lowly get wisdom. They can be taught. So, I have to ask myself, and I'm asking you to ask yourself, am I teachable? With the lowly is wisdom, but with the pride, they don't have the fear of God. And pride then becomes, and I don't want you to miss this, the singular cause of all conflicts. The singular cause of all conflicts. Now watch the scripture. Only by pride comes contention. Uh-oh. Back to the intelligence monitor. Only by pride comes contention, but with the well-advised, there's wisdom. All right, so here's the problem. You're in a conversation with somebody, and this person, these two people, are in converse, and one says something the other doesn't like. So what does a proud person do? He's got to come against it. And another proud person is going to come against his come against, and then we get escalation. It could lead to, it leads to wars around the world, nation against nation. Pride is at the root cause. Only by pride comes contention. It's this attempt to think we're above everybody and anything else and willing to act it out. Only by pride comes contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Let's look at another verse that says the same thing. He that is of a proud heart stirs up contention. Yeah. Pride is the singular cause of all conflict. Two people without pride, can have a conversation about anything. They can even disagree. And they just disagree. That's no big deal. But you put pride into one side or both sides of the other, and you can't disagree anymore because one has to dominate the other. And that's why it's the cause of conflict. We don't know how to disagree agreeably because pride will not let us do it. Only by pride comes contention. It might surprise you that pride was the condition of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom is known for its sexual perversion. But the truth of the matter is, what caused the sexual perversion? It found in the book of Ezekiel. This was the iniquity, the narcissism of thy sister Sodom, pride. Ah, out of that pride comes every kind of perversion, distortion, unimaginable. Pride's at the root. Now, we're coming down, and I hope you realize how serious this has already been. But look at this. The proud are resisted by God. The scripture tells us to be clothed with humility, for listen, God resists the proud. And we're going to come to the rest of this later, and he gives grace to the humble. So, it's not that he's a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of character, or a lack of character he adjudicates. The proud are resisted by God. We'll cover this some more. And then the proud will not hear the word. They don't want to hear the word of God. Hear ye, give here, do. Look at this. Be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Don't let your pride affect what you hear from him. Instead, give glory to the Lord your God. Now, watch happens. Watch it now. But if you will not hear. Well, let's go back and look at this. Hear and give ear. Don't be proud, because pride will stop you from hearing and from giving ear. Watch it now. If you will not hear, the prophet says, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, because of your pride. I'll weep over this. That's why he's called the weeping prophet. Mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears. Now here, why? Watch now. Because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. What by? By pride that keeps them from hearing the word of the Lord. Now, almost at the end, but you don't want to miss this. Because ultimately, the proud are going to be destroyed. And pride is the prelude to destruction. A man's pride shall bring him low, without a doubt. For pride is the prelude for destruction, goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I want you to see what the message is about this. First pride, then the crash. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Let's look at the next verse. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than divide the spoil, all the prophets, with the proud. The pride, is the prelude to destruction. And, consequently, it is easy to understand how the proud are such an abomination. They are God usurpers. Imagine. They were created trying to trump the Creator. Trying to bring God down, not to their level, but below their level. The proud are an abomination, and consequently they are due punishment. Watch your now. Everyone that is proud of heart is an abomination. Everyone that is proud of heart is an abomination of the Lord. Now watch this. And though hand be joined in hand, he shall not be, even though they are collected together in a group, it doesn't change anything. But only by mercy and truth is iniquity purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Wish we had time to go into the details of that. But here's my last point. And that is that the proud will ultimately be judged. Look at this. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of man shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. This is just the beginning, and I have tried to outline as best I could from the scriptures to demonstrate the destructiveness of pride. But remember, this is really got three parts to it. The one we just finished, understanding the destruction of pride. And the next time we're together, we're going to talk about the biblical and moral cure for pride. And then we're going to cover how to recover from the destruction that comes from the pride of others. And that's what's really important. Because the proud are putting you down. The proud are mocking you. The proud are making fun of you. They seek to destroy you, put you down, lift themselves up. As a consequence, we live in this almost unanimous culture of egocentricity. Some of us have entered into the competition with it. Not a good way to go. But how do we recover from all this mental, emotional, spiritual damage that's done to the human heart and mind from the pride of others? That's what we want to talk about. Before I go, I want to show you one last scripture. I want you to know that God has an exact plan to recover from the destructions that's caused from the pride of others. Here's that scripture. Thou shalt hide them. Look at this. In the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Don't miss it. He wants to keep you from the destruction that comes from the pride of men. So, make sure that you join me again for these last two parts. Why? Because you're important. God does not want you damaged. Jesus made it really clear, didn't he? The thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy you. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. And my friends, he's saying that to you.
Do you ever wonder how to handle that difficult person in your life? David L. Johnston has a free ebook just for you, How to Handle Difficult People. Get the free ebook today by going to nothingbutthetruth.org/difficult.